We are beginning this week. We're going to start moving through the various types of the nine types of the Enneagram, but let's go over our goals one more time. We're supposed to have fun, and I say that importantly because, remember, I already told you that you may be embarrassed or humiliated when you hear yourself described. You should be embarrassed or humiliated when you hear yourself described. And remember, humiliated is it comes from the word humility, which is not a bad thing. And sometimes that's what it takes for us to see ourselves as we truly are. We learned a little bit about the history and the function and the three centers, which we'll go over again, and the nine types. And so now we begin the process of discerning our type in the Enneagram. So very ultra brief review. There are nine types and three centers. Everyone has a number, though in parentheses I've added a little caveat there. You may be very close between two numbers. You may be very evenly divided, or you may, and so that may make it harder to identify with a particular number, but I think the longer you work with it, that eventually you'll find you are more identified with one. Your number is your number. If you remember last week's homework, which we'll talk about in a minute, you're supposed to think about what you were like as a child, and often that can help us discern what our number is, because whatever your number is, you have always been, barring some sort of significant tragedy that might be personality shifting. I think your number is your number, and how it manifests may be different at times. Your number is your blindness and your sight. It is the way you see the world, but sometimes you're unaware of how you see the world. And that's why we talk about this, so that you can become aware. It is your wound and your means of healing. It is your sin and your grace. I say this next one because it is important, because we're going to start describing numbers. And so today we'll describe ones and twos, which means if you're not a one or a two, remember your day is coming, okay? And because as I write about them or think about them, I'm not a one or a two. I feel bad when I'm talking about ones and twos. I'm like, man, I'm just being so mean. No, it's just who we are. I will be equally mean to the fives. Don't worry. We are all of us, no matter how you are wired. Every single last one of us is working towards redemption and transformation. And this process, by naming the depths of our drive, remember, this is not about what is on the outside, it's about what drives you internally. It's about what none of us can see. The process through which we recognize and name it is this process of transformation and confession, so that we are moving towards redemption. By knowing ourselves, we move in healthy ways towards wholeness and belonging. Again, if you got questions, comments, feel free to interrupt. Just to be clear, nine is not the best, okay? Just because it's at the top. One is not the best, just because it's number one, all right? Just so we're clear, they're all equal. And we will start, however, with one. In these nine, there are three centers. Eight, nine, and one are gut anger centers. We talk about one today, we'll talk about anger. And so they are people who simply know how the world ought to be without having to think about it. Now, they may think about it and justify what they already know internally, but eights, nines, and ones have in common that they just know. It's just the way it ought to be, okay? Twos, threes, and fours, they're our feelers, okay? So the good news is today you'll hear a little bit about the head and about the heart. Twos, threes, and fours, they're just the big softies. They just feel the way it ought to be. I just feel good. I feel whatever they feel about it. Okay? Six, the other three, the five, sixes, and sevens, we live in our heads. Okay? We value information over connection. It's not a great thing. We like all the information so we can make decisions. I've told you before, I will tell you again, just so you know where I'm coming from, I'm a five, okay? I'm a hard five, working on redemption, which means you need to hear how I describe these other numbers as a five, okay? I recognize, I describe them, some of you, as a five. Just take it with a grain of salt. How many of you spent this week thinking about your childhood? Okay? How many of you paid attention to what your motivation was this week behind the things you did? How much fun was that? No, yeah, it's super exciting, right? How many of you spent some time thinking about how you've changed and how you've stayed the same? Okay, I'm telling you that. I don't need you to share it yet. I don't want you to share it till we're done, okay? When we come to the last few weeks, if you feel like sharing, I want you to share. But I want you to have that fresh in your mind, how you were, what motivates you, and how you've changed as we talk about these numbers. Anybody have any questions before we move on?
I do, but I think it can wait.
Okay, we'll try to have some time for questions at the end. Don't let it wait too long.
Okay, well, we haven't gotten to the weight yet.
No.
Like the number on the Enneagram.
Yes. You think you got that, right?
I strongly identify with
yes.
That.
I don't know. I would say in my personal experience, I'm going to say a tentative yes. Let me think about that a little deeper, because I know for a five, there are times where my anxiety is more manifest. Sixes tend to be very anxious people. That's okay. And there's some validity to that. But sixes really crave security. And so I can only speak from my own experience on this one. I have felt myself at certain times in my life, maybe careening more of that, but though I have a pretty strong four wing most of the time. So I'm going to say tentatively yes. And I'll say what I said, I think, last week, which is that we find ourselves at odd intersections of growth, in that I think your number is your number, okay? But you are also a part of a family system, which is why I want you to think about your childhood. It could be great. It could be bad. Regardless of whether your family home life was bad or good, you had a family system. Whether you were, everybody has a family system, even if it's not biological. So your family system also affects the way you act. It doesn't affect as much your motivations, but it does affect, I think, some of that wing a little bit. I also believe we really, as people, we feed off of each other's energies. So if you're around a lot of super anxious people, it is very hard not to be anxious.
Is it also true, you said earlier, this helps us identify who we are? Mm-hmm. Once we do that, we realize where we're lacking.
Yeah.
We make some adjustments in our lifestyle based on
And we'll talk about that. My hope is that we'll cover, okay, we're doing this for 8 weeks roughly, maybe seven, depending on how Christmas falls. And we could go a little bit longer if we needed to. My hope is to go through all nine numbers and then to spend a week or two talking about wings and healthy movement and unhealthy movement. And we'll talk about a little bit of that today, but we know if I'm a five, okay, I live in my head, if I'm moving unhealthily, I move towards a seven, which means I become almost schizophrenic, in that I just, everything's exciting, and I know all these little things about all these little things. If I am a five and I'm moving in a healthy way, my thoughts move into, so five moving into a seven, that's still in the head space, it's still lost in my own thoughts. If I am moving in towards an eight, that means my thoughts begin to have actions. And so that is, what am I lacking? I'm lacking action behind my thoughts. So moving in a healthy direction. We'll talk about that. I think wings give a lot of nuance, but I do think the more we know about kind of where we start, the easier it is. By and large, this is not a prescription. This is a process, okay? It helps us to know what's up. Things that help us fly. So, okay, so on this, like on this right here, if you were like a five with the two numbers beside you are wings. So a five with a four wing means you're five with some characteristics of a four. Okay? Yeah, I think so. Look, every time I've been around the Enneagram, I learn more about it myself. So I give you qualified answers. Because and it's partly being a five, I want to make sure I have it right. So I give you a qualified yes, tentative yes. Any other questions? Jan?
Can you talk about a negative move is for you, is to a seven?
Yeah. I don't know. There's arrows. I have a chart with arrows on it, which is how I know. When we start talking about the movement, I will give you the chart with arrows. Okay? Because somebody said to me last week, well, if people get confused that nine's the best, why don't you just move the numbers? And it becomes a little complicated because what if you do notice the angle of the triangle changes, right? So like a 9 skips 2 to get to a 3, a 1 skips 2 to get to a 4, but a 2 only skips 1 to move to a 4, which is their unhealthy move. Wait, I got to think about that, okay? I'll give you the chart with the arrows on it. How about that? Okay. Y'all feel free to interrupt with any sorts of questions as we go. All right, let's talk about the reformer, the ones. And you'll see here we're developing a pattern in terms of how we'll talk about this. We will talk about every number as children, as adults. We will talk about some pitfalls, what your original sin is. We'll talk about what redemption looks like, this kind of growth movement. I will just say strongly one more time, I am painting with a broad brush, okay? I have not lived your life, nor do I assume to. I am giving you generalities with a few specifics in the goal that you are open to self-identifying. Because every one of us is unique. And even if there are like five nines in the room, the way that they manifest God's Spirit in their life is different from one another. So, we're talking about the similarities. I'll say one other thing. When your number is described, one of the ways you can know if it's your number is if you want to be angry about me talking about your number. Okay? Like, that's just, like, if you feel defensive, we are heading in the right direction. Remember, it is not personal. I told you I was mowing the yard when I heard my number and broke down crying after I got over being angry because it was like this man had lived in my head. When we hear ourselves described, our greatest temptation is to say, "You don't know me," precisely because you have been known. Okay. All right. Type one, the need to be perfect. So, type ones as children began at an early age wanting to be a model child. I used to pastor a woman. She was a real mess, but she was a one. I can tell you what I think she was, but she was a one because when I watched her, there was some school program, it wasn't around when I was a kid, but called Bluebirds or something. They were like the class leaders. They ranked the children in their classes by birds. So I don't know if you had like grackles and crows at the bottom or whatever, but they had bluebirds at the top. Apparently that's the epitome of birdhood. But she was like, every time there was a question asked anywhere, she was like, and eventually she would say, "Bluebird." I mean, she's so strongly identified with that perfectionist. And I know her parents. And so it's real easy to, from a systems theory standpoint and from an Enneagram standpoint, to go, yes, yeah. You know, her parents would come and talk about, we'll talk about that in a second. So they want to be the one who gets everything right in class and in home life. They seek to earn love by being good. And good for them is not an emotion. We'll talk about good for twos in a little bit. Good for twos is a heart thing. Good for ones is a moral category. They're good. Yes. They often had a parent who was moralistic, perfectionistic, or eternally dissatisfied. This woman joined my church, and then I met her parents, who also joined the church, and they lived next to each other. And so it was a really complicated kind of relationship, but there was a lot of enmeshment going on. But I remember her dad one time coming, and he had bought an art hanging. He used to be an art dealer from the Koch Gallery out of Atlanta, and it was this liturgical piece, and it was this kind of rug woven thing. And so he wanted the church to be able to use it on it was a Lenten piece. But there was like a 2-page list of how we could use it. And he had to come help us hang it. And he had to make sure it was square. I mean, God love him. Like, he just couldn't let it go. And that's often the case with ones. They just can't let it go. No. I hear you. Hear yourself. He couldn't let it go. He was like... And so we went to their house, and both of her parents were ones. We went to her house, and her mom's house, and I had tiny children. And she set a place for us at this tea we were having and put out fine porcelain china for my 3-year-old. Because you couldn't have a cup that didn't match the rest of the cups. It had to be perfect. It explained to me very much about this woman and how I learned to pastor her after I learned her family. And after I became more aware of the Enneagram, I was like, okay, we get this. Let me be honest, too. So the pitfall sometimes, and we'll talk about pitfalls in a minute, but while I'm talking about this woman, I'm going to tell you you don't know her, and I'm not naming her, so that works out pretty well. One time I got a call from her family. Because she had not shown up. And let me just be very blunt about what she did. She had gone, she was a school teacher. She worked with, I'll just leave it at that. She was a school teacher. And she had become so stressed out that she had taken 2/5 of whiskey up to school and had become blackout drunk in her classroom. Now, it wasn't during a school day. It was on a weekend. But she needed a place to get away from it all. And her need for perfection was so great that she had to go hide herself. And to let go, she had to get blackout drunk. Because her system had failed her and she wasn't willing to look at it, and so she ran away from it. So sometimes in people who are perfectionists, you see the only way they can escape that need for perfection is by abandoning it in extremely unhealthy ways. Many children who are gifted, quote, every child is gifted in some way. I'm not just saying that to be nice. I really believe that, okay? When I said it, it sounded like I was being smarmy. I didn't mean it that way. Typically your gifted children are ones because they're achievers, man. They just got to knock everything out. You got to check all the boxes. Anybody got any questions about ones as children? In adulthood, ones are idealists. They are ones who struggle. It's just, because it's not a head struggle, it's a gut struggle. They cannot accept, I'm talking about unredeemed ones here, okay? I'm talking about people who are not moving towards health. They cannot accept imperfection, particularly in themselves. I mean, it's bad in others, don't get me wrong. But the minute I mess something up, the minute I'm imperfect, it's a spiral, just gone. Let's see, that's the same from... They still, by the way, want to be good. Even if they hate being good, if everything in them rails against being the performer and the good one, they still want to be good to get love. Okay? They are ones in whom you don't have to worry about condemning them. They do it all on their own. There are always some sort of internal monologue telling them and telling them and telling them that's not right. They are working to be good, so they will not condemn themselves. They sense a natural order. And they intuitively know what can be done to make things that are disordered right. So, if you walk into a room and you see the paintings that are off kilter, you may just be observant or you may be a one. If you walk into a room and you notice that something is out, you go into the library and you're checking the Dewey Decimal numbers to make sure they're in order, you may be a one, okay? If you are, and there's nothing wrong with being a one. Ones are beautiful. Yeah, if you think that, if you have strong opinions about the Dewey Decimal System, period, you may be a one, okay? And it's not like, you don't have to think about it. You just are like, you know, this is not right and this is how it should be. And you don't need to ask anybody else how it should be. You don't want to ask because they are probably wrong. Because you know what is right. Not probably. Yeah. Very little self-doubt in the unredeemed one, by the way. It comes out in different ways, but very little, like, very little wondering. Like, I wonder if this, no, it's just right. It's time to do it. Yes, sir. Well, you got to listen to all nine. But if you feel it, then yeah, you might be. That may be a strong indicator. That may be an indicator, Doug. Well, you may not be a one. Not in that case, you weren't being weird. Yeah, and you may just be a librarian. I mean, that could be the other thing. You know, Doug, it's particularly funny because I grew up in the same situation. My mom taught at the school I went to elementary school at. And when school was done, I would go to her classroom and I would play video games. I had no, that was their mess. That was not my problem. So the dilemma of oneness is that there is a great temptation to search for perfection. They're always unhappy. In an unredeemed state, they're constantly unhappy because they cannot find perfection. One of the ways to describe them is kind of like Don Quixote, who's always off looking for the next dragon to battle. He's always off searching for the next thing. Ones will latch onto something, and they'll be great enthusiasts. They're not the enthusiast, but they will be like with people. Let's talk about the most dangerous way. Ones will seek to find perfection in people, and they will meet someone, and they will love someone, and they will be so excited about that someone because that someone is new, and therefore that someone still has the capacity to be perfect until they get to know that person. And then the greatest temptation for ones is to move on, because once again, perfection has failed to be found. Ones are often extraordinarily frustrated. Extraordinarily frustrated. They're just pent up. You will find ones have a very difficult time. And again, we're describing unredeemable. They can't slack off. They always have a task that needs to be done. There's something that has to be finished or completed. And because if life is imperfect, well, at least you can strive towards it, you lazy sons of guns, right? They are often seen as angry because they are angry, by the way. They can often seen as angry. They often come across as angry because the imperfection just drives them crazy. There's a great line in here about, there's a woman, Helen Palmer. This is not a book by Helen Palmer. She's describing a student of hers who is a one, and this is the woman's meditation exercise, reflection on their meditation. I'm sitting in meditation and become immediately aware of the loudness of the critic in my head. A small space of deep quiet, and I hear, not deep enough. Or, it was better the last time you sat in meditation. Then the argument starts, sit up straighter, you're not trying. Yes, I am. Always seeking to tweak, make it better. So, we won't end on the unredeemed one. We want to talk about redemption. Redemption for ones is learning to come to rest in order to observe the imperfection of the world. By the way, that part is easy for ones, okay? Ones see imperfection easily. Last night, Jill and I were at the house, and she said, hey, go look in that room for any cups that are out of place. We can load the dishwasher. I went in, grabbed a few that I saw, came in, went to another room, grabbed a few. Later, she said, you're not in charge of looking for things anymore. And she went and found like five more, right? I don't see it. I was like, oh, yeah, man, that cup just, it's like, you know, it's art. The trick for ones is not seeing the imperfection, it's accepting it. It's accepting imperfection. The root sin for ones is anger. They don't want to talk about it because their avoidance is to refuse to admit that they are angry because anger is imperfect. Well, it's a real catch-22. And it comes out in some nasty ways. They're angry because things aren't as they should be. But to be angry is to be imperfect, and therefore you can't be angry. So you just stuff it down. So what's the goal there is to embrace the anger. Stare at it, look at it, admit it, and let it be. Because when you can start with yourself as a one by going, you know what, I am angry. I'm angry, and I can admit it, and I can look at it, and I can say I'm angry, and I'm going to let it go. Well, then suddenly, if you can begin to accept that imperfection, then you can begin to accept other imperfections. It's like this path. Ones often appear defensive, particularly if you accuse them of being angry. You're seeing them upset. I'm not upset! Okay, you're right, I guess. So ones become, they really develop a strong Jungian mask. They really have this mask they're very good at putting on because they don't want you to see their true emotions because they can't accept their true emotions. But you can. See, there's redemption here. The way forward for ones... Well, let's talk about the fruit of the Spirit. When you find ones who are redeemed, ones who are further along on the path of redemption, they're tranquil. Because they are the people who have stared deeply at the imperfection of the world and still found it lovely. And ones have the gift of being able to stare more deeply at the imperfection of the world than some of us do. And they have chosen and found themselves capable of staring at the imperfection of the world and still finding it lovely. And love, by the way, is the real true path of redemption for the ones. When ones truly, not because they believe something is perfect, but when ones truly fall in love, it's when they learn to accept. I don't necessarily mean with other people. For a lot of ones, going out in nature, some sort of artistic endeavor, something that they can love in the imperfection, is redemptive. Ones must fall in love, first of all, with God to believe that they are beloved as they are. So they have to let go and fall into the embrace of one who accepts them just as they are. Redeemed ones are powerful. They're well thought out. They have been through the crucible of their own mind. They have survived it. And they know why they feel what they feel. And they feel it with not only passion, which is easy for them, but compassion. Accepting others. Ones are can be hypersensitive. Okay, they may not want to talk about it, but they can be. Hypersensitivity for ones comes from not accepting the way things are internally. Okay, so again, back to the angry thing. You seem angry. I'm not angry. Well, okay. When you find yourself overreacting, it's time to pay attention to what's going on inside of you. It's time to pay attention to why you are feeling and doing the thing you are doing. Because as you accept that, you realize that you don't over-identify with that anger. You seem angry. I am a little angry. That's okay. It's a part of the process. We'll also, as we close, I have to go faster next time. As we close, we talk about, it's easy to have kind of thumbnail sketches for the types, okay? So for every type, every number, we'll have different things. There's a lot of differing about the animals, but the animals for ones is the yelping terrier. You know, something's not right, right? So you got to let people know. So in terms of noticing that things are out of whack, they're the yelping terrier. In terms of industriousness, they are the ants and the bees who just work constantly until they drop. The nation for the ones is Switzerland because it's clean. Man, ones love cleanliness. They love cleanliness. They're all about the order and the hygiene. Switzerland is a very clean, very ordered, very idealistic. They have the best watches. They're the most precise. And I love, when you think about it, strict neutrality is deeming that both parties are right, which means that you are the most right because you are the one who can recognize that both parties are right. I find the color thing to be kind of unhelpful, but it may be because I'm colorblind, but the color ones associate with is silver. It's cool. It's sober. It's clear. Famous ones in both fictional and non-fictional life. Lucy Van Pelt from Peanuts is a one. A highly unredeemed one. She is always pointing out Charles's faults, right? She knows he's a sucker. She plays him for a sucker to help him become more perfect. She has a psychiatrist booth to help people with their problems because they are wrong. Martin Luther is a one. And if you watch the story of Martin Luther, he is railing against the imperfection of the system until he has his tower experience in which he leans fully into the grace of God and therefore becomes, well, more cheerful. I'm not going to say always cheerful. More cheerful. If you ever want to laugh, there's a website. It's a Luther, it's a generator where you can go in and type something and Martin Luther quote spits out. Martin Luther was really nasty to his critics. He wrote quite harsh things about them. But Luther was working towards redemption. Paul, also a one, the apostle. And some of you who are ones who struggle with Paul struggle with being identified with Paul, and that's just even more into your oneness, okay? So there you go. How do we find the conversion and the maturity? You have to accept the imperfection. And at first, if you're a one, that is like me telling you the sky is green, okay? Because it's just not what you want to do. But you have to accept the imperfection. And one key to that is that you have to fall in love with God. And if God, who is perfect, is patient with your imperfection, then maybe you too can learn that imperfection has a growth angle. For ones, one of the things that needs to be said on occasion is don't take it too seriously. It's okay, man. It's not all serious. Don't take it all so seriously. There's an invitation to ones to believe in growth. Because when you learn to embrace the concept of growth, you learn that people, including yourself, is not stagnant, which means that as imperfect as you are moving in a direction. And as imperfect as everybody else is, and imperfect as it is a moving, living entity, which means it's okay for it to be how it is right now because it can be something different tomorrow. And then when tomorrow comes, you have to be able to say, it's okay for it to be what it is today because it can be something else tomorrow. In order to really find the redemption and oneness, one of the things ones need to do, and sometimes they need other people to help them do it, one of the things ones need to do is don't do the thing you're supposed to do. I'm not saying get fired. I'm not saying, you know, because that would be horrible for ones, because ones want to be good. They want to do the thing, even if the system is stupid. They want to do the right thing in the system. But occasionally, give yourself a day off. Take a break. Chill out. Play hopscotch. Because it is in that joy that redemption comes. Anybody got any questions about ones? We're obviously not going to get to twos. I'm not going to talk about that either. We will get faster at numbers. Or we won't. So here's a quiz for ones. Did any of you notice that I put the word one differently in the slides? That sometimes it's all caps, one, O-N-E-S, all of them are capitalized. And sometimes the S doesn't get capitalized, and sometimes it's all lowercase. Yep, it is because I'm evil. And I knew, if you were like a true one, or if you are a strong, strong, hard one, you were going to be sitting there going, this is not right. I can't even pay attention. That was a little treat just for you.
Thank you.
Right. You're welcome. All right. Let's close in prayer. God, thank you for the gift of community. I thank you so much that there are people who are different than us, who help us to remember that we are not perfect, no matter what number we are. In that, may we find grace that we can accept ourselves and others. It's in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit we pray. Amen.